Good evening.
Good evening.
I am someone that is easily entertained. If you're easily entertained like I am, go to an airport terminal and sit down and watch the people around you. People are entertaining. I have a large elderly man sitting across from me, and his wife of the same size is sitting sideways, yanking the hair out of his ears. I watch this, and she gets up to get a drink of water. It's very obvious what she's doing. She's done with that ear. She comes back to the other side, sits down, and yanking the hair out of her husband's ears, while he sits and reads the paper and doesn't blink an eye. An adult woman is walking by carrying a doll, less than 20 feet away from me. Suddenly, security and their dogs are visiting. The doll's head is removed and a large white bag of powder comes out of the doll. A very sad and unfortunate situation. A middle-aged man and his teenage daughter are walking through the terminal. The daughter veers off to go to the restroom. The man, probably assuming the next door was the men's restroom, enters the same room that his daughter did. You should have seen him scurrying out, looking stupid and embarrassed. I didn't actually witness that. I was the guilty one. The people at the terminal, they are eating, sleeping, reading, talking on cell phones, pecking at laptops, sitting at the terminal, visiting, greeting some, saying goodbye to others. Some are running, while others are bored. All of them having time on their hands, watching the sky, waiting for their flight. You might say that all of them are a terminal case. As Christians, here we are, at this airport we call Earth, with time on our hands, watching the sky, waiting for our flight. All of us a terminal case, not knowing our flight time, not knowing when we will be leaving. In Ecclesiastes 3:2 says the time to be born, so our time begins. Even before our birth, our time begins. God says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." So the sand that is given begins to fall. It's falling. It's thought that there are 4 to 5 babies born per second internationally. That's thousands, beginning their journey, spending time on Earth during the scheduled layover. Ecclesiastes 3:2 is the other side. There is a time to die. Once our time begins, every year, every month, every week, every day, every minute, every grain of sand, we get closer to death. There is a time to die. We sing the song, "Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher grounds He ever leads me on. Until the day, until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home." Every minute, we're getting closer. One source reports that there is a death every second. So there are babies born and people dying all around us. We are surrounded by arrivals and departures. Most of them we are unaffected because we do not know them. But for those that we do know, we are touched. We are affected emotionally. Ecclesiastes 7:2 said it is better to go to the house of mourning than go to the house of feasting, for the death is For death is the destiny of every man, and the living should take this to heart. It's good to be reminded that we are running out of sand. This is a reminder that life is temporary and we have an appointment. We have a court date. Hebrews 9:27. And it is, and as it is appointed for men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We are going to die. That's something that people really don't want to think about. But we're going to die. If Christ doesn't come first, we're going to die. This life is temporary. When are we going to die? How much life do we have left? How much time do we have left? How much sand do we have left? We don't know. We don't know. Job says in Job 14:5, man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. Goodbyes are emotional. I've been to meetings where we're probably going to meet one another, and I remember especially teenage girls just sobbing. You know, they spent a 2-week meeting, they got close to each other, and goodbyes are emotional. They really are. But as you grow older, sometimes they're a little bit deeper. Sometimes they're a little more emotional. When Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders in Acts, the 20th chapter, it was time for him to say goodbye, and it was an emotional situation. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. A sad time. The death of Lazarus, written in John the 11th chapter. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And the Jews said, See how he loved him? Even Jesus was emotional with this goodbye, wasn't he? It's not an unnatural thing. But Jesus, when we face death, at the other side of death, he's there to meet us. Up to death, we have our brothers and sisters in Christ that encourage us and keep us company and work with the family, and they know that death is coming. After death, there's Jesus. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. There are times when it is tough getting out of this world. Knowing that this is a temporary life, and knowing that we have eternal life, what a blessing that we have the promises of eternal life. But getting out of this world sometimes is very tough. To get to the life eternal, we travel through death. Death may come very sudden, the unexpected turn in our journey. The cause of death may be an illness or a disease. We have perhaps warning and we see death approaching. When someone is told you have X amount of months, you have X amount of weeks, It's a sad time and a difficult time to go through. It may just be that it's time to die. It may just be that the body is decaying. You've spent your time here and it's time to move on. In Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, the strong man bows down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the window grow dim. The body is decaying. It begins to tremble. Your legs lose their strength. Your teeth are few, and your eyes are failing. What Christian wouldn't want to move on? But again, it's traveling through that death. Not that we should ever encourage death. That's God's call, not ours. God doesn't tolerate or condone suicide or euthanasia. But life is important to God, and those that destroy it are punished. But when death is faced, there's that bittersweet of Christians have a better place to go. They have a better place to go. We do not know how we're going to meet death. We don't know if it's going to be the sudden. We don't know if there'll be a warning. We don't know if we're just going to grow old and it'll be time. Ecclesiastes 9 and 11 says, "The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor rich to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. But time and chance happens to them all." Between the time we're born and the time we die, that's what we have, is time. But we don't know how much time. My wife asked me, "What if this falls off? What if this breaks? We're out of time." And all of us have known people that life has been cut short, and they ran out of time. Where do we find any instruction on telling us how to die? Where is it that we can look in the Scriptures and it tells you exactly, step by step, what God expects out of you? How is it that we're supposed to face death? How do you go through death? What's the right way of doing it? I can't think of any. I can think of an awful lot of Scripture tells us how to prepare for death. And that would be how to live. If there is any instruction on how to die, it pales to the instruction of how it is we are to live. Our job is to find purpose in life. So what is our goal? Quantity of life or quality of life? Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting to live a long life. But if there's no quality, you're just existing. It's an existence. I was in a group a while back, it wasn't very long ago, that they pointed out a woman that was 104 years old. And she was out. And she was being entertained. And she was doing something. But when I stop doing things, I hope the Lord takes me long before I'm 104 years old, if I'm just going to sit around and have no quality whatsoever. My goal is not quantity. I'll show you. It's still temporary, but all of a sudden you're putting it off. Quality or quantity? There's a difference between living and existing. Florence Nightingale had a purpose in life. Anybody that's a nurse knows the name Florence Nightingale. She had a purpose in life for 3 years. She made her name during the Crimean War. She brought respect to the occupation of nursing. There isn't a nurse alive that doesn't know this name. But at the age of 37, Florence Nightingale convinced herself that she was an invalid. And she went to bed and waited for death. And death came when she was 90. For 53 years, she existed. She wasted life. 53 years of wasting time. The difference between living and existing. The quality was gone. Apparently, the Thessalonians were expecting Christ to return soon, and they gave up. They quit. They stopped. Paul rebukes them for wasting time. Do something with your life. Work. It's expected of you. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10. If anyone will not work, neither will he eat. This is the way to live your life while you have it. Death is coming. But until then, live your life. Find a purpose. Fulfill it. Realize what you are good at and do it. James 4 and 17, "Therefore to him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." So what are you good at? What's your purpose in life? How are you preparing for death? How are you filling your time? What are you good at? Are you good at visiting the sick? Are you good at being an encourager as Barnabas was? Are you good at public service, or are you better at Bible, private Bible studies. What are you good at? Find your purpose in life and fulfill it. Are you financially able to help others? Romans 12 and 13. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Are you just good at pushing a kid on a swing? Is that what you're good at? If that's what you're good at, do it. Find your purpose and live your life. Don't sit back waiting for death, wasting time. How are you spending the time that you have preparing for death? I see young and old alike wasting life, wasting their time. I see the youth wasting time by not getting started. I see the old wasting time by giving up. We don't have time to waste. We don't have time to waste. Quality of life is to fulfill, is to fill your life with value. Now, there are times that health, age, or injury may limit us in what we can do. Richard Riggins, I get a kick out of it when he says, "I'm not the man I used to be, and I don't think I ever was." But there are limitations. Age, health, or injuries may limit you. But don't let what you cannot do stop you from what you can do. And I heard that statement from a woman that for years, very active in the Kansas City area, confined to a wheelchair. She says, "I will not let what I cannot do stop me from what I can do." We're all aware that Tom Woody has had his activities limited, but he's still an encouragement. Who's all on Facebook and following Tom Woody? Last Thursday, he says, "Since I'm not allowed to eat while I'm here in the hospital, the next best thing is to watch Chop on the Food Network. For those of you that can eat heartily tonight, enjoy this gift from God, and I will truly rejoice with you. Thanks for all your encouraging words and for the prayers for my family and me. Those prayers are getting the job done as the Lord answers them by keeping my mind and heart at peace. God bless you all, and let us all be sure that heaven is really our top priority in life." God bless Tom. He's not giving up. He can't travel like he used to. He's not even home right now. And he's still an encouragement. Paul in Philippians 1 and 3 says, "For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." Paul had a purpose in life, but he was looking forward to death. It's going to be far better. But while I'm here, I have a purpose in life, and that is to help you guys, to watch your faith grow, to encourage you. I'm going to do something. I'm not going to sit here in prison. I'm not going to sit here and get beat up. I'm not going to sit here and be stoned. I'm not going to sit here and be shipwrecked. I'm going to do something with my life. Nothing's going to stop me. God bless him. He lived his life preparing to face death, and he wasn't fearing it. 2 Timothy 4 and 8. "Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Death is coming for us all, and we all will face it. But God is giving us time to prepare. 2 Peter 3, 11 and 12. "You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming." Another translation says, "earnestly desiring the coming of the day of the Lord." When you have prepared and you are ready, when you've done your homework, you look forward to that day. It's been a long time since I've been in school, and I never did prove myself to be a studious person in high school. When I went to college, I proved a few things. But when you study for a final, the final's coming. Throw anything at me, I'm ready. When you know you've done your best for the Lord, you're ready. You're anxious for it. Death is waiting, and I'm not afraid. Mr. Morgan, the teacher that was at the school where I worked, I entered his room one night, and he shared with me the excitement that he had. He'd been transferred from another school. Hey, I get to stay here. I love the people that I work with. I love my job here. Mr. Morgan was very excited, and he shared, is the room okay? Do I need the kids to clean it up? I said, you're doing fine, Mr. Morgan. I appreciate that. And he was up. He loved his job. 2 days later, he's dead. An aneurysm. It was very ironic when I walked into his room, and in big letters across the board, he had written, prepare for your final. I stood there and looked at that for a while. He had no idea when he wrote that he'd never see it again. Prepare for your final. The bridegroom is coming. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, and they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. So go out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise said, saying, no, lest they should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went out, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man comes. There were 5 wise, there were 5 foolish. Were the wise being selfish with their oil? No, you can't have any of our oil. Why couldn't they share it? Why couldn't they give the foolish some of their oil? The foolish were in need. Why didn't they just give them some? What was the oil that the wise had? It was the deeds of their life. It's what they did with their time. It was the light they were shining. It was fulfilling their purpose. They didn't just exist. They had a significant life. Valued, a purpose. That's what their oil was. This was the oil that the wise had. But the wise answered, saying to the foolish, no, lest there should not be enough for us and to you, but go rather to those that sell and buy for yourself. The problem was, you can't buy this oil. You can't purchase it. You can't take it from anyone. You can't give it to anyone. The parable doesn't even say that the foolish ever found oil. The oil was not available because they ran out of time. They ran out of time. How much time do we have before we face death? How much oil do we have? How much is our light shining? The foolish needed to prepare, and there wasn't any time left. The sand had vanished. The apostles watched Jesus ascend up into heaven in Acts, the first chapter. While they watched, he was taken up, and the clouds received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward the heaven, he went up. Behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Jesus is coming back. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then they who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Until the return of Christ, what will you do with your time? Every minute you're growing closer to death. Are you prepared to face it? Because we are all a terminal case. If there's anything we can do to help you prepare to face death, it's amazing how fast this sand goes through here. I remember a little girl didn't have very much teeth. And when her mom come home and I'd fixed her hair, it looked like an afro. What did you do to our little girl? I'm only 53 years old, but I wonder what happened to that little girl. She's a grown woman now. I'm of the age, I can say, time goes fast. I understand it keeps going faster all the time. We're going to run out of sand. What are you good at? Do it! Christ will help you. Come as we stand and sing.